Thanks, Brock. As a research associate, I was fortunate to be able to work closely with Marisol Benitez Ramirez and her major advisor, John Wilkerson, on this project. Marisol was not able to be here to present this today, so y'all are stuck with me, and I get to be the one to share this information, begin sharing this information with you. As the first spectral reflectance talk of the session, I get to be the one to define NDVI loosely, at least quickly, because I suspect many of you are already familiar with the normalized difference vegetation index, and that it's a ratio of near-infrared and red light that is very extensively used in remote sensing. Typically, this remote sensing has been done from an aircraft-based or satellite-based. The trend has been a move towards, at least in agriculture, a move towards ground-based sensors for this type of work, because we remove the limitations found in the other two platforms with weather, cloud cover, and timeliness of being able to get the platform over the target. One thing that has been mentioned several times today, at least already, is that NDVI does correlate with lots of different things in an agricultural system. Many of these are listed here. Particularly with these ground-based systems, we find that that ends up being biomass-driven. These are the three main names that are distributing a commercially available spectral reflectance sensor, ground-based spectral reflectance sensor right now. Each is very similar in that they are active light sensors providing their own light source and measuring the reflected light in at least two bands from the crop target. The objectives of our group over these last couple of years, we've had manipulative studies in the field. And what we're looking to do is evaluate the commercially available sensors for the real-time nitrogen application in cotton, because these sensors, at least the ground-based sensors, got their start in grass crops, in wheat, where there is a uniform background and there is not an impact of the size of the target on the NDVI value that's reported. So there are many universities represented here, then you'll hear at least another I know of in this session, that are doing work to develop these prescription protocols. So how can we use this NDVI information in real time to define the amount of nutrients needed to be applied to the crop? And there are various methods, map-based, real-time. And then one that we have focused on that I can't dwell on today is incorporating historic information to be able to bracket the response of a real-time sensor when it comes to nutrient application. What I'm going to focus on today is our work in developing methods for removing the soil background influence on NDVI readings. So can we take information on the gaps in the plant, gaps in the plant canopy, and the size of the individual plants to try to remove the biomass information and address the color of the plant, which is really what we're trying to get at when people have been correlating NDVI with the chlorophyll and the nitrogen deficiency. So the manipulative experiment I described or mentioned earlier, we've had 40 acres out of the middle of a long, narrow field. These rows are little over half a mile long, and each one of those, the grid cells that I've got illustrated here, are 100 feet long by 8 rows of cotton wide, 8 40-inch cotton rows wide, in which we have been applying three different seeding rates, 16,400, 28,700, and 50,225, and we got out in the field and we verified that these populations were in fact statistically different over the years. This is one instance I just wanted to show you that in this particular case there was a planter calibration issue that resulted in lower plant populations even than what we anticipated, and that allowed us to pick out some of the these particularly interesting results. The other treatment that we overlay on top of this seeding rate are four nitrogen rates. applied as a split application with 30 pounds pre-plant and the rest that making up the treatment applied in a side dress for a total of 30, 60, 90, or 120 pounds of nitrogen. On the left-hand side, you see the results of some leaf samples we've pulled. The y-axis is the total leaf nitrogen, and the x-axis is the nitrogen rate. The blue bars, the short blue bars, are illustrating that prior to our supplemental nitrogen treatment, there was no statistically significant difference in leaf nitrogen. And following our supplemental nitrogen treatment, we did have a breakout and had significantly different nitrogen treatments or nitrogen responses, plant leaf nitrogen responses in our field. So we were achieving the rates that we were, or the differences we were looking for with a manipulation. We bastardized a plot sprayer into an engineering platform that we could mount various sensors on and evaluate these things. We've got a four-bar linkage that allows us to dynamically adjust the height above crop. Here on the front, you see that we have one of the spectral reflectance sensors, as well as an ultrasonic plant height sensor that we put together with an off-the-shelf ultrasonic sensor and a microcontroller that just does a little data processing to get us to allow us to exclude some error readings that happen as you're moving quickly through the field. So we're logging this on a single board computer with a high accuracy GPS unit. And we manually verified our plant height readings. So on the y-axis here, I've got ultrasonic plant height, and on the x-axis, I have manual plant height that we measured, old-fashioned style, tape measure, walking through the field, and you see that those are very strongly correlated, and I have the nice slope of 1, but you notice that y-intercept is a negative 4. And the way we explain that is a manual plant height measurement, when those were taken, were measured to the highest point on the plant. And with the ultrasonic readings, it was likely measured at a lower, more substantial portion of the plant canopy. So what we have found in recording NDVI and plant height simultaneously at a high rate throughout the field is that on average, the plant height is very well related to NDVI, which we would expect and we have seen in many other studies. But we're able to create the same field maps, the same pretty maps that GIS users are blamed for making extensively from plant height as we do with NDVI. So the idea was, can we then take this plant height information and use it to extract the biomass component of NDVI and start getting at the colors? And can we then use that and be able to better differentiate the nitrogen treatments that we have out in this field? So this is results from the manipulative experiment that I showed you with the NDVI differing by our seeding rates for the majority of the growing season. I forgot to mention that my different letters earlier were indicating a statistically significant difference of less than 0.05, as are each one of these stars indicate each of these dates were statistically significantly different. So if we look at an ANOVA analysis, I want to direct you first to this NDVI column. And you'll see this is NDVI as a descriptor NDVI alone for telling whether we can differentiate between the plant populations, the nitrogen rate, and then whether we have a population by nitrogen rate interaction. And as you saw, we often, if not always, had a difference in NDVI by plant population. And then there was, in this case and in this year, we did not have the ability to differentiate between our nitrogen rate treatments with NDVI. Next door, you can see that the plant height at this date, this is a later date after we applied our supplemental nitrogen. At this date, we were not able to use plant height to differentiate between plant population or even begin to pick out our nitrogen treatments. But when we combined plant height as a covariate in our analysis of NDVI, we were able to reduce the p-value for the nitrogen rate significantly from the one that we saw when we analyzed with N-rate alone. And believe me, I would have loved to pull out a nice sexy figure, a nice sexy table where before using the plant height as a covariate, things were not significant, and then afterwards, you know, we're 0.04 or 0.03. That didn't pan out in this year, but dropping from a p-value of 0.16 to 0.08 was I thought encouraging. So that was an inclusion of plant height in our analysis. The next thing was used extensively. It was the work of Marisol Benitez in her master's work. She was looking at removing the soil background impacts on these reflectance readings through processing of the NDVI data. She did a plant removal study where she started with a continuous row of cotton plants, and she drove our sensing platform over these cotton plants, recording NDVI and plant height at a rate of 10 times a second, driving at 1 mile an hour. So she got a very high resolution data set as she moved through this. What she then did was back the unit up, remove plants, drive over the same plants again within a very short period of time. So nothing about the plant is changing, but the average NDVI value is decreasing as you're removing these plants. And she wanted to then be able to process the data such that gaps in the plant canopy would not show up in the resulting NDVI. So this is an example of the waveform she got, if you will, as you move through. It's really a plant map. And the lighter brown line is the first pass or the first time across those plants when no plants were removed. And the orange line here is a representation of after we have removed one plant every four. And you see as we move through these, the signal reflects that, and we end up with the green line where only one plant was left. And it was reflected beautifully here in the NDVI in that with each pass, the NDVI decreased by one NDVI unit or 0.1 here, which was makes a nice illustration. The first thing she did was she went to use many of the other indices that are often used during this remote sensing and found that they all resulted in differences from each one of these times. So the next thing she did was take a threshold, a subjectively defined threshold for this point in the season, and said, I'm not even going to consider anything below 0.4 in this case for an NDVI value, and then use a running mean to process this data and define the NDVI such that when it's averaged, the values, while being shifted upwards because of the technique, do not differ due to the gaps introduced in the plant canopy. And you see we did still have some statistically significant difference here in that number one differed from 2, 3, and then 4, but 2 and 3 are no longer different. And you see if you think back to the first figure I showed where they were stepping down by 0.1, this is really only stepping down by about 0.05 at the worst from time 1 to time 4. So in summary, the plant height measured on the go with the low-cost ultrasonic sensor was strongly related to NDVI, and we always had a significant difference in NDVI when the plant population varied. That paired with the NDVI relationship with the plant height allowed us to go ahead and use the plant height information to try to remove a biomass impact on NDVI to get at the color and increase our ability to pull apart the different information. So with that, I will take any quick questions.
You got a question?
Yes.
Hey, Philip, I have a couple of questions. I enjoyed the presentation very much.
Thank you.
When you were talking about your first experiment, the one where you were changing the nitrogen rates and everything else,
yes.
You knew that there was some natural variability to this field, right? It was half a mile long.
That's true.
So from the workshop we've attended that together, don't you think that some of that natural variability was confounding the results and you might have better relationships between what you were looking for if you took that variability into account instead of using the classical statistical techniques?
I think you're exactly right. We have not made the step to analyze this information with the geostatistics yet, but it's in the hopper. That's on the to-do list. I agree completely. Okay.
My other question, more of a point of clarification, was Marisol was saying that she was trying to get an average NDVI over the 4 meters, or is that what?
She was averaging the NDVI over the 4 meters, and she wanted to develop a processing technique that would allow her to get a repeatable average NDVI value regardless of the gaps introduced into the plant canopy. So can we remove the soil background information and only be reading the plants through that threshold and then the running mean?
Why are we looking at that?
That's right. Yeah, we're in much larger than on a 4 meter basis. The idea is to be able to remove the locations of the field. Randy Taylor refers to it as cultivator blight, where it's not necessarily the plant that's being represented by an NDVI value, but gaps in the canopy or smaller stands that may be a result of some environmental condition. So we were looking to start weeding out some of the noise in the background through this processing was the idea. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Phil.